All right, Acts chapter number 16, and let's look here and try to our best to finish up, if at all possible, Acts chapter number 16. And I wanted to look, probably about verse number 16, and start there. And some of this will be, this is where we about ended up last Wednesday night. And I want to share just a little bit. Now, here's something I want to point out. We've been 16 chapters now in the book of Acts. Now, what I want to point out, in the book of Acts, you have the Apostle Paul getting saved in Acts chapter number 9. And then after that, of course, he goes to Arabia and spends some time there and gets a special revelation from the Lord. And and we've been over that. But here's something I wanted to point out, and sometimes we forget and sometimes we fail to mention this. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And those 13 books are divided into Acts epistles and prison epistles. In other words, the Acts epistles would be the epistles that that Paul wrote in the pages of the book of Acts. In other words, let me go on. And then you have prison epistles, which all the prison epistles basically transpire after Acts 28, when Paul goes to prison and spends his time in prison. He writes the other epistles, Ephesians and the rest of the prison epistles, and those are divided up. Pauline epistles is divided up into Acts epistles and prison epistles. Now, this is what I want you to think about. The book of Philippians is probably written sometime after Acts chapter number 16. You'll notice in verse number 12, Paul and Silas go to Philippi. And sometime after he visits this place called Philippi, sometime later that, he writes back to the church at Philippi, and he calls it the book of Philippians. And so, I wanted you to get that in your mind sometime when we're reading chapter 16. You can read chapter 16 and some of the instances where he goes to Philippi, and you connect it up and go over here and read the book of Ephesians, and it goes together. In other words, probably in chapter number 17 is where he goes to a place called Thessalonica. And sometime after chapter 17 is where he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And things of that nature. So when you're reading the book of Acts, it is a history book. It covers a lot of period of time of church history. And engulfed in the book of Acts, you'll have the book of Galatians. You'll have the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You'll have the book of Romans. You'll have the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, if you will, written inside the pages of the book of Acts. And so I did want to point that out. I wish one of these days I'm going to get a chart. And so you can actually see that. These time frames, the book of Romans is going on at the same time the book of Acts is being written. The book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is going on at the same time. He is writing back to these churches that he's visiting in the book of Acts. And he's writing to them. The church at Philippi, how y'all doing? And all that kind of thing. And so I did want to point that out. Now, let's go to verse number 16. And here's where we about finished up last Wednesday night. And it came to pass, as we went in prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, Brother Middlebrooks just got up here and told you some of the things that's going on in Russia, and that is nothing new to the book of Acts and nothing new to people today. People are getting more involved in this soothsaying and more involved in witchcraft and Wicca and the black fingernails and dyeing your hair black it's a spirit about that thing, the spirit of the underworld and the dark makeup and the dark eyelashes and I don't know what all you call it. I just know when I see it. And you can tell, back when I was going to school, what'd they call it, Mark? Gothic, and they may still call it that. And I'm not saying everybody dressed that way, but look, there's a spirit about that thing that goes on in the world today. We have television shows now that concentrate on, even now, my daughter likes to watch, and I go through that, I'm like, please turn that stuff off. All these changing into stuff and witches and warlords, and you say, oh, that's a kid's show. That's a kid's movie. It's planting seed that it's okay. Amen. Now some of y'all look at me like, oh, preacher, I ain't nothing wrong with that. Now look, I didn't fess up. I like Wizard of Oz. I still watch Wizard of Oz. And I'll have to give an account for that. I like it. But if you can't tell the difference in a Wizard of Oz and Harry Potter, there's something wrong with you anyway. And I like Wizard of Oz. I don't mind. It's recorded. I put it on tape. It's recorded. I like it. And if it's coming on tonight, I'd watch it. And that's just me, but y'all do what you want to. But it's still the idea of the witchcraft and the witches and the warlords and the good witch and the bad witch. You know, no such thing as good witches. I got sense enough to know that. I still like watching the show, but I got enough sense to know there's no such thing as a good witch and a bad witch. You understand? And this is the idea, and I've heard them say on television, they watch some of them little cartoon thing, they say, well, are you a good witch or a bad witch? And trying to give us or our children the impression that there is such a thing as a good witch, and you can practice that stuff and do it in a good way. My friend, the Bible says it's soothsaying, and it's witchcraft, and it's abomination in the sight of God. Now we've got this girl, she's possessed with a spirit of divination, and she's making her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's probably a fortune teller, she's probably working all the fairs and the carnivals that come into town, and she's making money and giving a portion of that to the mayor and the governor and the judges and y'all got it? And she's making her masters much gain by telling people's fortunes, and she's giving her... See, I believe the Bible says something like this, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's something about that. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why they don't like the King James Bible, because it don't have a copyright on it. Nobody can make any money off of this one. Nobody owns the copyright to a King James Bible, because there is not a copyright on the King James Bible. That's why they like these other versions. They push these other versions because somebody owns the copyright to them. And every time somebody buys one, somebody's making money off of it. And if they knew the truth, even if they knew the truth, I know men and men of God and people that you like listening to on the radio and I enjoy listening to on the radio. Some of them are already passed on. And the good men of God, and they know the truth about the King James Bible. They know the truth of it. And they still use the other stuff because why? It goes over better. The fellowship with the brethren is a whole lot better. You understand? Brother Jeremy, you don't understand. If I got up and beat the pulpit like you do about the King James Bible, I wouldn't have anybody in my congregation. The love of money is the root of all evil. Is that happening to anybody? Well, anyway, she was making her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, verse 17, now you got Paul, and they're in the midst, and the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Watch, this demon-possessed girl, watch, spoke the truth. The demon-possessed girl spoke the truth. She said, these men are servants of the Most High God. Is that true? Yes. Which show unto us the way of salvation. Is that true? That is true. Now watch. The devil believes in the virgin birth. Can I help y'all just a little bit? The devil believes in the fundamentals of the faith. The devil believes everything that Bob Jones University believes. The devil believes all of that stuff. The devil, you say, preacher, I'm telling you, over here in this new international version or this non-inspired version or this American Standard version right here, look, it speaks of the deity of Christ. It may do it in one place. Why? Because the devil will throw it in every now and then. He'll throw it in every now and then. Why? The demon-possessed girl, she knows, or this spirit that's speaking through her, can speak the truth. And that is one of the deceptions. Hey, y'all know this? Guess, watch this one. Watch this one. Benny Hinn does speak the truth sometimes. Well, preacher, he believes in, hey, y'all want to know something? Let me confess something else real good to you. We confess on Wednesday nights, man. I'm telling you, we do. Well, I do most of confessing. Y'all just sit there and write stuff down. I mean, y'all don't do any confessing. I do all the confessing. Y'all just writing stuff down and just waiting to pull it out at the right appropriate time. But I was flipping through there and I run across Benny Hinn. Now watch, you're not going to believe this, but I was watching and he was talking about Daniel's 70th week. And I went, hold on a minute. So I'm sitting there. And if you understand Daniel's 70th week, talking about the 7-year tribulation period. And he's talking about the church being raptured out before the 7-year tribulation. I'm like, cut off my legs and call me shorty. That dude believes like I do on that subject. And then he's like, after 7 years, the second coming, the Lord's going to come. I'm like, I mean, I'm thinking about having him come and preach at our church. Just because, no, I'm not calling, look, I'm not calling Benny Hinn a devil. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, just because a man on television speaks one truth, that don't mean go buy every tape that he's got and saturate yourself and believe everything that he says. He may be correct on one thing. This girl's correct on this thing, but she's still demon possessed. Now let's move on. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit. Now watch, Paul's just put up with this all she can put up with it. He's sitting here trying to have a revival meeting, watch. And this little girl, demon-possessed, she's speaking out of turn, and she's disrupting service, and she is speaking the truth, but hey, it's still disruptive. And this is what she's trying to do. She's trying to get everybody that she's been fortune-telling to, trying to get everybody to relate her and Paul together. They're preaching the same thing. If I can associate me and Paul, Paul's just he's just another good witch. And he's just like me. And she's like, these men speak the truth. We're together. We believe the same thing. All the fundamentals of the faith, we all believe the same thing. And Peter and Paul sitting there like, I'm about tired of this. So this is what Paul does. Now watch, this is what he does. He gets grieved and he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her, or came out the same hour. I mean, Paul just gets tired of it and says, hey! He wasn't talking to the girl. He was talking to the Spirit in that girl. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of Allah, not in the name of Muhammad, not in the name, amen. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And at that same hour, that Spirit come out of her. Now watch. Something's fixing to take a turn. Do y'all not think that's good? This girl got relieved of that spirit of divination in her, a demon-possessed spirit, and now, I mean, everybody ought to be shouting the victory. The city mayor ought to be shouting. The governors ought to be shouting. The judges ought to be shouting. The police ought to be shouting. The sheriff's department ought to be shouting. Watch. Verse 19, and when her master saw the hope that the hope of their gains were gone. I think we said a while ago the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't we say that? Her masters wasn't worried. They really didn't care if she was demon-possessed. They really didn't care about her being demon-possessed. When they saw that their money is fixing to dry up, what's it say? They caught. They didn't rejoice. Paul, y'all done a good, y'all, Paul and Silas, y'all done a good service to this city. We're going to give you a key to the city. Man, we appreciate you passing out tracts at the mall. We appreciate you going to Walmart and telling people about Christ. Oh, we're so proud of that. That's not what they did. It's just what they did. When the master saw the hope of the gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. How do you trouble a city? Just getting a girl saved and casting a demon out of her. How is that troubling the city other than drying up your money? Hey, all the nuts ain't in the nut house. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. Now watch, verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now what do we do? Look what witnessing got me. Look what getting somebody and showing them how to be saved, look what it got me. It got them thrown in jail. Now what do? This is what you do. You better write this one down. When you get into a bad situation, and you know you're doing right, you know you're doing what God says to do. When you get in a bad situation, how you respond to trouble determines how long you stay in trouble. How you respond to adversity determines how long you stay there. How you respond to the pit, Joseph being in the pit, how you respond to the pit experience determines how long you're going to stay in the pit. And so you can do a couple of different things. Well, look what serving the Lord got me. Look what getting people saved. Soul winning. Look what it got me. Lord, you just ain't doing right by me. Woe is me. I think I'm going to roll around in this mud hole, and I'm going to take everybody with me and have a pity party. We're going to order a cake. And that's what a lot do. They get into a pit. Look, here's another response. The Lord, I've been doing what you said do. And you have got me in this situation for a plan and a purpose. Whatever this plan and purpose is, you show me and teach me as quick as you can. And I'll promise to listen as fast as I can and learn from this situation. God, you're in control. And fluff your pillow up and go to sleep. Y'all looking at me like, preacher, that's easier said than done. You got that right. And y'all look, I ain't mastered that one either. I'm just telling you, that's the principle that's in the Bible. I hadn't mastered it or nothing. I'm just telling you, that's what the principle's in the Bible. So watch, we got Paul and Silas. Silas is going, Paul, look what in the world you done to us. We've been serving the Lord. What do we do now, Paul? Paul's like, well, just hang on. The Lord's still in control, ain't he? Silas says, yeah, he's still in control. Well, Paul, what are we going to do? When you think they're going to let us out? My back's killing me. Now, this is all in the Greek. I mean, it's all in there. You just have to read in there. Silas like, my back's killing me, Paul. I mean, good night. Can't the church put us up in a motel or something? I mean, we're out here. We're struggling for the Lord, and my back's killing me. How long am I going to stand here? Paul's like, I don't have any idea. All I just know, we're doing the will of God. He put us in this situation. Silas, what do you suggest we do? Well, I don't know, but Lord, if he don't hurry up, it's killing me. I mean, my feet, I can't move. I'm losing feeling in my hands. I don't know what to do. And this is what Paul said. You know what we ought to do? It's something we hadn't thought about. Said, how about let's just have church? Silas said, what? Church, we're in jail. Paul, wake up. Smell the coffee. We're in jail. Paul's like, well, I mean, it won't hurt anything. It can't get any worse. I mean, it can't get any worse. We might as well sing our way through. Now watch. Y'all didn't know all that was in there, but it's in between 24 and 25. Now look at 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. I mean, that's what we've done tonight, haven't we? We've done that tonight. We've having church tonight. Church is the people, not a building. I mean, we're in a school building. I mean, you people here, the church is gathered. And they said, we're going to pray and we're going to sing praises unto God. Now watch, watch. And the prisoners heard them. Now Paul's like, look, we're in this situation. It's a bad situation. Look, I mean, it looks bad. But look, there may be somebody listening. Somebody got the phone off the hook. I don't know what that is. But what is that? Thank you. I mean, we might as well, somebody may be listening, and we might as well sing and pray, and maybe somebody's listening. They start singing and praying. Watch. And the prisoners are listening. Now watch. Here we go. Verse 26. And suddenly, now we're talking about midnight. Now midnight, I can promise you, I'll be asleep. Now I don't know if I would in prison or not, but I mean, I'm telling you. Look, this new time change has got me off. Good. I mean, I'm talking about 10:30, I'm a zombie. Right? I mean, I'm up by 5:36 and 10:30 I'm sitting there. Now it's 9:30. And I'm like, oh, what time is it? I mean, this time change is killing me. And I, you know, I'm waking up, Tracy, man, she's mad as a hornet. I'm telling you, she's mad. She is mad. And she, why ain't you? I'm telling you, the time is just, you know. Has it affected you any? Sorry, it don't affect him. Where was I going? Oh, at midnight, here we go. At midnight, they're singing and praising, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, this is where Elvis was reading when he wrote The Jailhouse Rock. I mean, y'all write that down. No, don't write that down. No, don't write that down. But can I say this? God rocked the jail way before Elvis even thought about it. I mean, you can mark that down. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Oh my goodness. And everyone's bands were loosed. Now watch. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now watch, he's thinking to kill himself because why? He's looking down in the light, in the dark, and the doors are open, all the chains and stuff are gone, and he's like, I'm dead meat. I mean, the judges and everybody that told me to keep these fellows, they're all gone now. I'm dead meat. So he draws out his sword and he's fixing to fall on it and kill himself. Now watch. Watch this one. Verse 27. Oh, I didn't read that. And supposing that the prisoners had fled, verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now what? Hey, can I ask you a question? What would make a bunch of prisoners in a jail cell? Listen. I don't know how many's ever been in jail. I've never been. But I'm saying, if I was in there, the only thing I'd be thinking about morning, noon, and night was how to get out of here. That'd be what he'd be thinking about. Now, don't you think, if that's all they were thinking about all day long, and all of a sudden the chains fall off and the door swing open, wouldn't you think that the first notion was to take out running? Then what would make everybody stay in their place? I mean, what would make people not do the natural thing and stay in their spot? Watch this. What were Paul and Silas doing before the earthquake? They were singing and praising God. Watch this one. Holy Spirit conviction will make you do things not natural. I'm talking about these prisoners were captivated. And they were listening. And I believe with all of my heart. You say, preacher, you're reading into that. I'm telling you, the only thing that would make them stay in place would be Holy Ghost conviction. Hearing Paul and Silas pray at midnight, singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. How in the world can anybody sing in a time like this? And them prisoners, I'm told, might are under Holy Ghost conviction. And when the doors swing open, they can't move. They're like, what do we do now? I'd like to hear a little more of that. Now that's, you know, you believe whatever you want to believe. But Paul said, do thyself no harm. Verse 29. Then he called for a light. The jailer called for a light. Now, I don't know if he was a smoker or... Come on, people. You say, why are you going to do that? Because y'all, on Wednesday night, y'all are half asleep anyway. And I got to do stuff like that to, you know, y'all got it. Some of you. All you smokers got it. All right. Now watch. Let's get serious. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. You remember when the Holy Spirit of God put you under conviction? Bro, Mike, you remember that? I mean, you remember when you were just sitting there? That's the Holy Ghost of God. He came in trembling. And fell down before Paul and Silas. That's humility. He's under Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. I believe Jesus said something like this, unless you become as a little child, humble yourself. This is what this fellow did. He humbled himself, came in trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. Watch. Verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Please underscore that in your Bible. That is the most important question in the whole entire Bible. That is the question that men have been asking all down through history. What must I do to be saved? We're talking about it is a practical question. Because why? Listen, every one of us in here, if the Lord don't come back and take us out of the rapture, look, we're all headed for the graveyard. So you better answer that question. What must I do to be saved? Not only is it a practical question, it is a personal question. What must I do to be saved? Not what grandma's going to do to get saved. Not what granddaddy's going to do. Not what grandma or my daddy was a Baptist preacher or all this. What must I do? It's a personal decision, and everyone in the building has to answer that decision, that question. What must I do to be saved? Now, the answer to that question lies in the next verse, but I do want to point something out before we read what you got to do to be saved. Notice he did not say, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus only, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that. Y'all with me? I mean, look, we're just talking about Bibles, all we're talking about. He didn't say you had to be baptized to be saved. He didn't say that you had to join the church, the one particular church that Christ founded and named it after Himself, the Church of... Y'all with me, ain't you? I mean, he didn't say you had to join this particular church and take this particular... It did not say, sirs, what must do to be saved? And Paul and Silas did not say, well, you're going to have to go to Rome and kiss the big toe of the Pope, and you're going to have to do the sacraments and all of this, and you're going to be sprinkled as a baby. And I'm telling you, folks, it's real simple. It's so simple that everybody misses it. He didn't say, look, I'm telling you, Acts 2:38 is not the gospel for today. That was a Jewish for Apostle Peter in Acts 2 trying to bring in the kingdom. And they said, what must we do, a national, look at it and see. I don't want you to believe me, just look at it. What must we do to be saved? That's Acts 2:37. Peter said, repent, be baptized, everyone. Now, why didn't Paul tell them the same thing Peter said? Why? There's a different program going on in town. This is what we call salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about salvation by grace through faith. He didn't say, be baptized and you'll pick up deadly serpents and speak with new tongues and drink liquid plumber and you'll not be hurt. And you say, preacher, why are you hounding on this? Because you would be surprised how many crazy people tell me Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, Matthew 24:13, he that endureth the end, same shall be saved. Endure all you would like to. But if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be saved, no matter how long you endure. And they don't have a foggiest idea that Matthew 24:13 is referring to the tribulation period about enduring to the end, enduring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Context, people, context defines the meaning. You just can't go. Look, I believe Timothy said something like this, a woman shall be saved in childbearing. Well, does that mean that every woman that gives birth to a child, oh, they're saved, going to heaven? No, why? Context, context, context. Well, anyway, that went on pretty good. Look, wouldn't y'all like to know what you must do to be saved? Wouldn't you like to know? Here, watch. Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now watch. Believe on. Notice the wording. Believe on, not believe in. Y'all ready? What's the difference in believing on and believing in? Look, I believe in the doctors that I go see. I don't have as many as my wife does. I mean, women's got all kind of doctors. They got 40 doctors they go see. But I got one. There's not a lady in here smiling. But, I mean, y'all be honest. I mean, you go, I got a doctor appointment here, and I got, 40 different doctors. Anyway, just take vitamin C, fish oil, and B12. You'll be all right. Now, watch. I had to get your attention back. Watch. We close and watch. Believing in, I believe, if the doctor told me, he said, Brother Jeremy, you got to have open heart surgery. Doctor, I believe in you that you're telling me the truth. I believe you're telling me the truth. You know what it takes to believe on that doctor? Lay down on the table and let him put me to sleep and cut me open. Then I'm believing on him. The devils believe in the Lord. They believe in Jesus Christ. You ready? They believe in him. But do you believe on it? Have you got 100% of your weight, faith and trust in that chair you're sitting in? You've got 100% of your weight. You're believing on that chair. Right now where you're sitting, you're believing on that chair. Me standing where I'm standing, I'm believing in that chair. I believe that chair will hold me up. Y'all believe that? I believe in that chair will hold me up. But it won't do me any good until I turn around and put 100% of my weight and believe on that chair. There's a difference. And this is what Paul said. He answered the question. It's too simple that everybody does. It's like you want to add something else to it. It just can't be. Preacher, it just got to be something else besides believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. It's got to be something different. It's got to be something more than that. You got to join a certain church. You got to get wet and get baptized. You got to do certain things. I mean, you got to, why can't it be just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Why can't it be that simple? That's what it takes. That's what he said. Now watch. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night. Now watch, when you get saved, you start acting different. I said, when you get saved, you start acting different. Probably this same jailer that put the stripes on is now washing them. I mean, that's a different nature there. Wouldn't you agree? I think something about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Something like that. And he took them the same hour of the night, it was sometime after midnight, and washed their stripes and was baptized. Notice baptism comes after getting saved. Not before, not baby sprinkling. Amen. Not baby sprinkling and not... It comes after believing. You want to show a picture of what happened to you. Amen. This is a Gentile Roman jailer too. He's a Gentile. Now, write that down. He and all his straightway. That's all. Look, all right. At verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Amen. Not only am I going to wash your stripes, I'm going to feed you too. That's what I like. That's why people, when they get saved, I think they ought to take me home or take me in out to eat. Here's a principle here, people. Watch. And when he had brought them into his house, he sent meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Hey. Look, his whole house heard the word, heard what happened to the Philippian jailer, and they said, we want to believe too, and they got saved. Watch. Now look, I got time for this one. Watch. They still doing something back there. Watch. There's a lot of people that say this. They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So that means if one person gets saved in the house, the whole house gets saved. You can forget that. That ain't good baloney. That's baloney, but it ain't good baloney. I mean, that's just pure baloney. It means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it goes for you, and it goes for your whole house, it goes for your mama, it goes for your daddy, and your grandma, and your granddaddy, and all your kids. If they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes for them all. And all right, they rejoice. Now watch. I got to watch this. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. You know what that means? That means, I don't think so. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. Now watch. Let me give you the for instance. This city, Philippi, was not supposed to beat Paul and Silas, being Roman citizens. Being a Roman citizen, you were entitled to a trial. And you had to be found guilty. These Philippians didn't know they were Romans. Watch. Paul didn't tell them. Watch. He didn't tell them. Watch. He didn't tell them they were Romans. If Paul would have told them they were Romans, then they would have had to go a different route. He didn't tell them they were Romans. And they beat them and threw them in prison without a trial. And these magistrates found out about it after the Philippian jailer gets saved. You're not going to believe who was at my house last night, Judge. Man, Paul, hey, they Romans too. Romans! We didn't give them a trial. Do you know our life is in jeopardy if the Roman government finds out that we tried two of their citizens? Or excuse me, didn't try them. We beat them to a bloody pulp and threw them in prison without going before a judge. Hey, you get down there and let them go, and you let them go fast. And sneak them out of town. Paul, and they went back and told Paul, said, hey, they won't let y'all go, but hey, when you go, shh, be quiet. They found out y'all were Romans. Paul's like, they beat us in the open. uncondemned. They beat us in the open. Tell them to come down here and tell us that to our face. See, Paul and Silas now have the clincher on them. Watch. I love Paul. There's something in the Bible that says being wiser than a serpent and harmless as a dove. Watch. Watch. Verse 30. Three more verses. Y'all hang on. And the sergeant told these words from the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. She lives in the same town. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. What? Paul's like, I ain't leaving town. Y'all done a no-no, didn't you? All I got to do is pick up the phone. Oh, no. Hey, let's give you a key to the city. How about that? Look, Paul and Silas, y'all go witness down tomorrow anytime you get ready. Now watch. You see, it's right reversed. When they cast the demons out of that old girl and cut off their money, they throwing them in jail without even finding out who's got jurisdiction over them. They go ahead and do it. And now it's like, hey, y'all do whatever you want to do. Go down to the mall. Do whatever. Hey, cast as many demons out you want out of everybody. Just cast them out of everybody. Help yourself. Why? We done a no-no. Paul's like, I know you did. I didn't tell you either. Why? God knows what's going on. God's in control. Amen. Well, anyway, I hope that helped you.